All right. Well, welcome to Hoboken Grace. My name is Chris, and right now we're in the middle of a series called Destinations. I don't usually do this, but if you weren't here last week as we kick this off, I'm actually going to suggest that you go back. And if you don't know this, every single week we put the messages online. We do it through a podcast. You can listen to them online at our website, or you can download them through the podcast system, and I actually suggest that you go back and listen to it. And oftentimes in our series, you can kind of jump in at any point, and that's going to be true today as well. But with this one, what we talked about last week as we kicked off this series is so foundational and so important for our lives that if you missed it, I actually suggest go back and listen to it. Pick up the book at the back. That's going to kind of walk you through it as well. Hopefully a lot of you began to have this conversation inside of your dinner groups throughout the week as we kick this off. And I want to kind of wrap up a little bit really quickly. I can't wrap everything up, but I want to kind of bring you kind of in line with us as we continue to move forward, because last week we kicked off and we talked about this thing called the principle of the path. And if I could kind of sum this up for you, or the definition that we talked about with this principle last week, this principle of the path, it simply stated, it's this, that your intention does not determine your destination. It doesn't matter how badly you want something. It doesn't matter how much you hope for something. It doesn't matter how much you wish for something to happen in your life. It's not your intention that determines your destination. It's your direction, right? And we talked about this in terms of driving and directions and the fact that, you know, you can want to end up at the Jersey Shore all you want. You can hope you end up at the Jersey Shore all you want. But if you get on the parkway headed north, you're not going to end up at the Jersey Shore, right? It's not your intention. It doesn't matter what you want or what you hope for. It's your direction that's going to determine your destination. And we understand that when it comes to driving. We understand that when it comes to driving directions. But oftentimes there's a disconnect in our lives between this principle and the other decisions that we make throughout our life. And so we say, oh, I understand that debt's bad. I don't want to be in debt. I don't want to live as a slave to someone else. I want to go this way. I want to be financially free. I want to be financially secure. This is where I want to end up in life. But then we make choices and we make purchasing decisions and we buy that car and we buy this and we make choices that take us in exactly the opposite direction. And for some reason in our mind and in our life, we think that if we hope that we'll end up over here, that if we believe that it's going to work out, then we'll end up over here. But as we talked about last week, and as we looked at God's word in Proverbs chapter 7 last week, we realized that it's not our intention that determines our destination, but our direction. And some of you walked out of here last week and you're like, wow, that's really true. And the question that I asked you as we wrap this up is, okay, where are you headed? And the paths that you're on right now, are they taking you where you want to end up? Are they taking you towards the destination that you had hoped for? And some of you walked out of here and you're like, wow, this is really true. That's great. And I want to be able to begin putting this into practice. And you began to look at those paths that you're on. You began to look at where your life was headed. And I had a ton of conversations this week where people came back to me and they said, this is great. I understand that this is true. I see how this works out in my life. I see how this works out in other people's lives. He says, but how do I know? I mean, I understand the idea. I understand the concept. I understand how it works, but how do I know? How do I know if the path I'm on is leading me to where I want to go? How do I know if the path I'm on is a path that's going to lead to life or a path that's going to lead to destruction? How do I begin to make these decisions? And for us, we realize that it's kind of important, right? And the crazy thing is that for most of us, we're making decisions in situations where we have no experience. That's one of the really frustrating things about life, right? That you don't get to like try something one way and then just kind of jump back to where you were before and try it another way and just kind of learn from your experience. People say that all the time. You know, make sure you learn from your mistakes, learn from your experience. Experience is the greatest teacher, right? But the problem is, no one says, you know, hey, listen, just get married once, kind of figure it out, and then the second time it's gonna work so much better. Right? It's not like, well, you know, you get to kind of try this out and try it one way, and then if it doesn't work, well then just jump in another way and see if that works. And then life doesn't work that way. One of the really frustrating things about life is that we're making decisions about things that we've never done before. We have no experience with. So how do I know if the path that I'm on is taking me where I need to go, where I want to go? How do I know if I should marry him? How do I know if I should make that purchase? How do I know if I should take that promotion? I understand this principle of the path, but how am I going to make decisions, and how in the world am I going to make these decisions in situations where I have no experience? How in the world am I going to navigate this maze when I've never been down it before? That's what I want to talk about today. And what I want to do today is I want to kind of give you an opportunity to hear two really clear answers to this question. The truth is we could probably be here for a couple of hours talking about, okay, how do you know? And how do you know where the path is leading? And if it's leading where you want it to lead, we could probably talk about it for hours and hours. But I want to give you two really clear things. And then I want to introduce to you a principle. A principle that I believe as we're walking down this journey and you're beginning to live this out will guide you over and over and over again, and a principle that we miss all the time, or a principle that we ignore all the time. And so the question is, how do I know? The first one actually comes from our memory verse from last week. And if you didn't get a chance to see that inside your program last week, our memory verse last week is from Psalm 119. It says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." Over and over again, as we walk in here, I tell you, you need to be reading God's word. And if you have your notes with you, go ahead and pull those out, and you can kind of jot these down as we go through this. But last week, as we began the series, I gave you that memory verse because I wanted you to begin to realize that when it comes to finding out, okay, how do I know? This is the best way for you to find out. And you pick up God's word, and the Bible says that God's word is literally like a flashlight, lighting our path, allowing us to see what's ahead. Because we don't have time to waste. You don't get to come back to where you are right now. I was talking to the college students this week up at Stevens, and I was sitting there with them, and I was like, listen, guys, you have to understand, you don't get to be a student twice. At least you hope you're not a student twice. Right? You don't get that first marriage twice. You don't get certain situations twice. You don't get to live this year again. And it's crucial that you're able to see the decision, that you're able to see the path before you get down. And so one of the things that God's done is he's written us this entire letter, and he said, listen, I want to light up this path for you. I want to give you judgment. I want to give you wisdom that you don't have because you've never experienced this before. I want to make sure that you don't waste your time, that you don't waste. One of the things that runs through my mind over and over and over again, almost every single Monday when I'm sitting there with my son, and I get to spend Mondays with my son, and it's just me and him, and it's really cool. But one of the things that runs through my mind over and over and over again is that I get one chance for this with him. I get to be Caden's dad in this situation one time. And if I miss it, I miss it. There's no going back. And one of the things that you begin to realize when you begin to take this principle of the path very seriously is that when you get lost driving, it costs you a couple minutes. Maybe it costs you an hour. But in life, when we get lost, when we take the wrong path, it costs us years. It costs us things that we can never, ever get back. And so God says, listen, I want you to make the most out of every single day. I want you to make the most out of that marriage. I want you to make the most out of that relationship. I want you to make the most out of this time in your life. I want you to make the most He says, so I've given you my word, and it's literally a flashlight along your path. And it's going to show you the things that are ahead, and it's going to guide you, and it's going to direct you, and it's going to make sure that the path that you're on is actually taking you where you want to go. The second one is to consult godly counsel. We talk about this over and over again. At the end of last week's message, I told you, and I kind of gave the implication that you were going to join dinner groups. And that was awesome because you did. 25 people joined dinner groups last week. It was awesome, right? Which means we need more leaders. If you're here and you're interested in being a leader, we need more leaders, right? Because people are getting connected. And one of the things that you say, okay, how am I going to make these decisions? The first one is, okay, I'm going to dive into God's word. Second one is consult godly counsel. You need people in your life who've either been down these roads before or who really know what God's word says. You need people in your life who are going to speak up, because sometimes you're on the wrong path, but you don't realize it because you're in the middle of it and you're wrapped up in it and you're excited about it. But you need people who are going to come alongside of you and say, listen, you're headed the wrong direction. And I hear you saying you want to be over here, but you're moving this way. You need godly counsel. Listen to what God's word says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18. It says, plans succeed through good counsel. Plans, paths, where you're headed, succeed through good counsel. Don't go to war without wise service, without wise advice. And some of you say, war, what are you talking about? I'm just trying to decide who I'm going to marry. Yeah, talk to married people. They'll let you know how applicable this verse is. And God's word says, listen, when you're looking at where you're going to go, when you're looking at these paths, you need people around you who are going to be able to speak up and tell you, listen, you're going in the wrong direction. You need to dive into God's word. You need these people around you. And then the next one, we're introduced to in Proverbs 27. And the truth is, we could probably go all day. We could list different things that will help you be able to determine what's the right path and what's the wrong path. And as you read through the book, you're going to get all sorts of really good ideas about that. And you're going to walk through that a little bit further. And as you're in your dinner groups, you're going to be able to talk through this. And okay, how do I make these right decisions? And what are things that I can build into my life to help me choose paths, right? And so... We could spend all day doing that, but I want to spend most of our time right here. And it's something that we're introduced to in the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 12. And it says this. It says, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. That's a verse you need to memorize. It should be inside your program. It should be on the back of a little card that looks like a Subway card, and it goes along with our whole theme and everything, right? And it should be on the back of that card, right? You need to memorize this passage. Because when it comes to this idea of choosing paths and where I'm going to go, this is something we miss all the time. And it's funny because I see it all the time, because I get to be in counseling situations with people and they're telling me about where they are and their life is just kind of falling apart and everything's begun to crumble and everything's kind of twisted and broken. And they're like, I need help. I need to know, how do I get out of here? And it's interesting because as you begin to look at the situation and you go back, and you guys have had these conversations just like I've had them. You've had them with your friends, and your friends come to you and they're like, man, my life is falling apart. This is a disaster. Everything's kind of crumbling. And you're like, you're kind of following the story, and you ask them, well, how did this happen? How did you get here? And they begin to kind of backtrack on the story, and they're kind of telling you different things that happened, right? And in the back of your mind, you're thinking to yourself one thought. Wow, you really should have seen this coming. Right? And some of you are like really nice friends, and you don't say that. And then some of you are just like, you can't help it. It just comes to your mind, and you're just like, dude, that you should have seen this like months ago. You've never had this conversation, right? You have this conversation all the time. And you're looking at this story, and you begin to kind of ask them questions about it. And you're like, well, when he started going there, what did you think was going to happen? Or when you started seeing her or spending so much time with her, what did you think was going to happen? And what the writer of this verse wants us to understand as he's walking us through this is he says, listen, there's two different kinds of people. And when it comes to this idea of paths, these two people, they start in the same place and they're walking down the same path and they're headed in the same direction. Says, but then there's the prudent person, and in God's word, the prudent is actually, prudent and wise are used almost interchangeably. Right? He says there's the prudent person, and the prudent person sees danger coming. And they take refuge. They see it. They see it coming. They're like, okay, I see where this path is headed. I see what's happening here. Maybe they realize it themselves. Maybe someone else comes into their life. Maybe someone in their dinner group comes into their life and says, listen, let me kind of shine a light on this because this is headed the wrong direction. He says, the prudent, the wise person sees danger coming and they take refuge. They get off that path. They realize, okay, this path of mine is not taking me where I want to go. I've got to do something. They get off the path. They take refuge. He says, but then there's another person. And he calls them the simple. Which is like a really nice way of saying dumb. And he says, there's the prudent. And then he says, then there's the simple. And the actual definition of this is the idea of someone who's naive. And he says there's the prudent, and then they take refuge. He says, but the simple, they see it coming. It's not that they don't see it coming. They see it coming from a mile away. They realize, okay, wait a second. Yeah, I see that this path is going to lead me to something bad. He says, but they just keep going. You see, the prudent person is the one who says, in light of my past experiences, in light of what I know, in light of what I've experienced, and my future hopes and dreams, where I want to end up, what is the wise thing to do? And they step off that path. He says, but the simple thinks that they can beat the principle. And so the simple says, okay, I realize that my path is leading me right towards the wall, but they think they're going to get to the wall and not hit the wall. They think that, okay, I can keep headed this direction, but it's just going to work out. Like the wall's going to move. And you say, well, I don't do that. Oh, we all do that. Every single one of us do this. And someone will step into our lives and they'll say, man, I think this is headed in a bad direction. I think you should change direction here. I think you really, I see some danger ahead. And you're like, yeah, you're right. I think you're right. I think, you know, and you're having this conversation with your friend, or your friend's having this conversation with you. And they're like, yeah, I think you're right. It looks bad. It's not looking good. So what are you going to do? I'm going to keep going. This relationship is destroying you. It's leading you right towards the wall. I know it doesn't. It's bad. What are you gonna do? We're just gonna keep dating. What are you gonna do? I'm just gonna keep going. Because the truth is, it's always easier to just keep going. And we think, okay, maybe God will magically move the wall. And that's what we start to do. If you're in church, you know, if you're not in church and you're just here today, you're checking this out, you know, and you don't believe in God, then you're kind of just like, well, I hope fate works things out. I hope that the wall just magically disappears. Maybe the wall isn't as bad as people say. But if you're in church, then it changes a little bit and you start to pray. And so you ask your dinner group, you know, pray that the wall isn't there. Pray that the wall moves. Pray that God, you can move mountains. Please move this wall. Right? And you use like all sorts of really religious language to wrap it up. You say, I don't do that. We all do this. And this is the way that it looks inside of church, right? Because we walk in here, and on Sundays we talk through things, and you hear us talking through this, and you hear God's word, and God's word comes in, and it convicts you, and you feel it, and you're like, man, yeah, I realize this direction I'm headed, it's the wrong direction. Man, I feel like I should change. And then you sing the songs, and you get really excited about changing because, you know, like the songs are upbeat, right? And you're just like, your arms are up, and you're like, yeah, this is going to change. It's awesome. And you walk out and you're like, what are you going to do? I'm going to keep going. And we trick ourselves into thinking that we have this great relationship with God because we were convicted and because we raised our hands and the songs were great, but we just keep going. And when you look at this passage, you realize it's a complete waste of time. Because it doesn't matter what you're excited about. It doesn't matter what you hope for. It doesn't matter what you pray about that wall moving. If you just keep going, you're going to hit the wall. And you're going to hit the wall. And you're going to turn around, and you know this happens every time. We talked about this a little bit last week. You're going to turn around, and you're going to say, why, God? God, I can't believe this happened to me. And God's going to say, listen, I tried to light your path. And God's going to say, listen, I brought people into your life through that dinner group who told you this was going the wrong way. You're going to say, God doesn't love me, but the truth is God couldn't love you anymore. And God doesn't love you any less. But this is a principle, and you don't break principles. You only break yourself against them. And so you can walk out of here and you can say, you know what, I'm going to jump off this building and God, please help me to be able to hit the ground and it not hurt, right? I'm going to jump off this building. God, please help. No, God doesn't work that way. And in his word, he said, listen, if you head down certain paths, it will break you. And today you have a decision. And as we walk through this, each and every one of us, we have a decision. Are we going to be the prudent? Or are we going to be the simple? And I guarantee you that God is calling out to you to take refuge. And it's interesting because as the writer writes this verse, he doesn't say the simple might suffer harm. He doesn't say, you know, it might work out that way where it's going to suffer harm. He says they will suffer harm because they keep going. And for some of you, you know this because sometimes on this path, you cross certain lines where there's just no easy way out. And as you go down this road, the truth is, with every step you take, you get further and further and closer to that wall. And sometimes you get close enough to the wall where you can't help it. And no matter how badly you want it to work out, there are no good choices anymore. And so you say, man, I want to be financially stable. And so you start to worry about planning and saving when you're 60. No. Too late. You're already too far down that path. And so as a girl, the best time to worry and to evaluate the relationship is not after you get pregnant. Start thinking about, man, do I want to be with this guy? Do I want to? It's too late. Sometimes there are just no good options left. So God's stepping into your life and he's saying, where are your paths going? And for some of you, you're not really sure which path you should be on, but you're looking down the path that you're on right now and you're seeing danger coming. And the question is, what are you going to do? Are you going to take refuge? Are you going to get off it? Or are you going to just keep going? I want to give you four things that are going to be a part of your life for sure if you're going to take this seriously. And for some of you say, okay, I realize that there's danger ahead of me, so what do I need to do? I want to give you four things, and they're not really steps. They're more like four things that are going to be a part of this process for you, right? Because you're like, okay, how do I take refuge? I see the danger coming. How do I take refuge? How do I get off this path? How do I protect myself in these situations? Four things that are going to be part of your life. Number one is action. You've got to do something. You don't have to change how you feel about something. You don't have to change what you believe about something. You have to do something. Maybe you have to get rid of that computer. Maybe you have to cut off a relationship. Maybe I don't know what it is in your situation, but I guarantee you there's an action step that has to be taken. Maybe you need to change your phone number. Whatever it takes, you need to do that. The first thing, there's going to be action. The second thing is there's going to be sacrifice. Without fail, when you begin to head down this road, you're going to have to give something up. And the truth is, this is what usually keeps us on this path, right? And so you realize, man, this relationship is headed somewhere really bad. This is going to be bad. Or you realize, man, financially I'm headed in the wrong direction, right? And this is kind of interesting because as I'm working through this, Anna and I are working through some interesting things with our car. If you've ever seen our car, it's like a death trap. And we're realizing that we need to get a new car, right? And so we were like, okay, we're going to get this, you know, we're going to get a minivan, which is like my dream come true. And I finally convinced Anna that we're going to be able to get this minivan. I was so excited about this, right? And then we began to look at our finances. And I'm looking at the path of the minivan, and I'm like, ooh, there might be some danger down that road financially for us. Right? And some of you are looking down this relationship path, and you're like, man, there's some danger down there. I'm seeing danger ahead. But you're emotionally wrapped up in this, and you're emotionally connected to this person. That's exactly how it is for me in the minivan. I'm looking down this path, and emotionally I'm all wrapped up in this, and I want it so bad. And the truth is that those things will keep us on the path, and we'll be like, yeah, I realize, you know what? That's going to put us in debt and in a bad situation where we might not be able to do what we need to do, where we need to do it. But it's those attachments and those things along the road that say, well, I'm just going to, what are you going to do, Chris? Well, I'm just going to keep going. We're just going to go for it. No. And without fail, it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to give up something. Maybe something that doesn't even look like it's part of the problem. And so for some of you, you cannot stop looking at porn on your computer. And you need to get rid of your computer. You say, I can't do that. I need it for this. I need it for that. I need it for... No. There needs to be action. And it's going to cost you something. You say, well, the computer isn't... It's going to cost you something. It's got to take action. It's going to take sacrifice. And number three, it's oftentimes going to cause embarrassment. Because here's the deal. The people around you aren't going to understand what you're doing. And so at work, you say, you know what? Guys, you guys go ahead for lunch, but I'm not going to go. I'm going to go have lunch over here because you realize you can't hang out with that person anymore. It's becoming dangerous, and you're looking down this road, and you're realizing there's danger ahead. And they're like, what do you mean? And you can't even explain it to people. And it's going to be embarrassing. And you know, your friend comes over and you don't have a computer and you don't have a TV and you've gotten rid of all these things. And they're like, dude, what's going on in your life? Right? You can't even explain it. And if you tried to explain it, it would just be embarrassing. Why? Because they're evaluating your decisions based on where you are. You're making your decisions based on where you see it taking you. You're being prudent. You're being wise. But for them, they're not going to be able to see it. It's got to take action. It's going to create sacrifice. It's going to create embarrassment. But then there's going to be number four, and that's relief. Because here's the thing. The day is coming when you're going to experience relief. And you're going to be able to see, okay, wow. It might have been embarrassing and it might have been hard to step off that path. But all of a sudden, because I'm telling you, you know it. And it's weighing on your shoulders and it's hovering over you every single day. And there's something inside of you that says, this is bad, this is bad, this is not. And so you change your lifestyle and you spend less and you get that tiny, tiny little apartment and your friends are like, what is wrong with you? You can't live in a closet, right? And all these things are happening and it's there's sacrifice and there's embarrassment. All this is part of this process. And then you're out of debt and all of a sudden you're like, wow, this is awesome. And you're going through that breakup and it's tough and it's hard. But all of a sudden, it's over. You're like, whew, relief. I don't know the paths that you're on. I don't know what God's calling you to or how this is going to work out. It's interesting, in God's word, we're told a story about a man who walks through this very same thing. And it's kind of like the epitome of this. And his name's Noah. And in Noah's situation, God says, listen, I want to show you the future, right? And I want to tell you what's going to happen, right? I'm going to show you the end of this path. He says, I'm going to flood the world and it's going to be crazy. He says, I'm going to show you the end of this path. And so I want you to begin to build a bridge. I want you to begin to build a boat. Bridge wouldn't do you any good. I want you to build a boat. And I want you to build this giant boat. But there's only like a few people. I want you to build a giant boat. But where am I going to get the supplies? And it's going to cost it. No, I want you to do this. I'm telling you, this is where the path is headed. This is what's happening here. And so for Noah, it caused incredible amount of sacrifice. It caused incredible amount of embarrassment. You want to talk about embarrassment? Build a giant boat in your backyard when it doesn't rain. And God says, then I want you to get inside the boat and I'm going to close the door. And then it doesn't rain. For like days, it doesn't rain. And Noah's probably thinking, man, I don't know. And most of us know the end of the story. And I guarantee you there was relief. In your life, I don't know where the paths are taking you. For some of you, you see the danger. Don't keep going. Take refuge. And realize that no matter how hard it is, no matter how complicated it gets, there will be relief. And you're walking down paths and you're saying, I don't understand. Why isn't God moving this wall? Why isn't God? Listen to me. God loves you. And for that very reason, he has you here today, hearing his message to you. And he's saying, listen, I want to guide you. I want to direct you. you know where this is going. And he'll walk with you as you take refuge. I don't know what you need to do, but I encourage you. Do. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning, this isn't necessarily an easy thing to hear because we realize that it is going to take sacrifice. We realize that it's going to look embarrassing sometimes, and the course of action, it can be so hard, and it can be so tempting to just say, you know what, I'm just going to keep going. And we look at what needs to happen, what needs to be done. It's so much easier to just say, I'm going to keep going. It's so much easier until we hit that wall. Father, I pray for every single person here. Father, I pray that you would give them the courage to step off that path. I pray that you would light their way in such a way that they would see what's coming. And that you would give them the courage to do what they need to do in this situation. I thank you for the incredible way that you've loved us. I thank you for the incredible way that you're guiding us. And that we don't have to fear the future when we're following you. Father, continue to move us forward. In Jesus' name.